turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 for tonight's study. And we are, I really am enjoying doing this. I keep fiddling with how we do it. And this is a little change again tonight. Now I do have one blank. I was told Cal there's no blanks. There's one blank. There's one blank. Okay, but that there are spaces under each of the other points where you can put notes if you want. I'm not going to give you any answers. So we're going to just talk about this, Bible study style. So the title is, So Then You Are God's Building. Let's do a little bit of review. I just want to review chapter 2. So verses 1 through 10, and that's the very famous verses, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I'm sure that's the King James. The New American is probably slightly different. But, I mean, that is so familiar. If you've been in any kind of Bible memory program, that's one of your verses, I'm sure. Anyway, so the work of God in saving men. So those first 10 verses are about individual salvation. You are in darkness. God brought you into the light. You know, you are dead, it says. And then he changed you. All right, so that's salvation, verses 1 through 10. Then, verses 11 through 22, the work of God in creating a new order. That's just my title. We'll get to the bottom line tonight, which is the bottom line. So, verses 11 to 13, the work in the Gentiles. You remember, he says, you Gentiles, you were far off. You have been brought near. Okay, so that was the big point of those verses. Verses 14 to 18, the work of peacemaking, breaking down the wall between Jew and Gentile. There's no longer a division. God has demolished that. That is ended. Our peace is in Jesus Christ. He's solved this issue for us. What a passage. And now tonight, this is our passage, 19:20 to 22, the work of church building. That's today's study. So here's your blank. The key word is building. Building. All right? And the work of church building. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's read the text. And it will show up on the screen. So then, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. All right, so I'm going to turn on my highlighter, and here's the first question. Identify the building-related words in the text. There's quite a few of them. I think I've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 8 of them in my list. Let's see if we can find all of them. So look at the text. Richard.
Foundation.
What verse is that in?
20.
Okay, so foundation. For sure, that's one of the words. All right. What's another one? Wolf.
God's household.
God's household. Okay, you are of God's household. So the word household, that is a building word. We'll talk about all of these in a little more detail in a minute. I just want you to see them, all right?
Cornerstone.
All right, yes, cornerstone. Okay, there is an... Oops, I can't even... okay. All right. Well, I do have an eraser. I can erase that. We can erase that one, and we'll try to do better next time. Okay, there we go. Cornerstone right there. Okay, that's much better. Okay. Okay, so what's the... what's another one? The
whole building.
The whole building. Where... okay, the whole building. That's right. Okay, so the building there... Oops. See, this mousing around is not as easy. When you're sitting at a desk, it's really easy. I tried this at home. Come on. Oh, it's not.
We're okay with leaving it like that.
I don't like leaving it like that. Okay, so we gotta, you know, if we're gonna do something, you gotta do it right, as Debbie's brother once said. Okay. And it was Debbie's brother in our wedding reception. He had made up this song about Debbie. And he was talking to the pianist about getting the note right. He says, I don't want to sing it dumb. Gotta get it right. Okay, so here we are. Okay. I don't want to do my highlighting dumb. Okay, so there's only 4. I need 4 more.
Temple.
Temple. Okay, temple is a building word. All right. Pardon me?
Dwelling.
Dwelling is a building word. Okay, 2 more.
Church.
Fitted together is actually a building word, isn't it? Right there. That's not that great of a line, but I'll leave it. Okay, and let's see.
Built
together, right. Being built together, right. Okay, and dwelling. Yeah, we've got that one. Okay, so let's see. See if I've got all the ones that are in my list here. Foundation, corner, okay. Building, fitted together. Yes, okay. I got, those are all the ones in my list. If you found another one, that's fine. But you can see that's the theme. The building. All right, so he's using this as a metaphor. Paul uses various different metaphors about the church. Of course, this is about the church. But he'll use the body. He'll use a family. He'll use building. There's probably a couple others I'm not thinking of off the top of my head. But so this is very important, this idea here of the building-related words. So we're going to, let's... okay, before we get to defining some of these words, what words describe the Ephesians past and present? This is in verse 19. Okay, so no longer strangers and aliens. All right, and what's it? But now? Well, of God's household, but there's this other word here.
Fellow citizens.
Fellow citizens, okay? So, strangers, that's the way they were far away back in verses 11 to 13. But now they are fellow citizens. All right, so that's the next thing. I sort of started to answer this next one. So let's talk about number three. What do these terms point to in the preceding verses? So you think about the context, what we just reviewed in chapter 2, and maybe you can look back. What are these things, the strangers and aliens and the fellow citizens, what are they pointing to in the previous verses? Richard?
The Gentiles and the Jews.
Okay, the Gentiles and the Jews. So they're pointing to, there used to be a separation. That's when they were strangers and aliens. But now there's been a change. And so what's that, with Jew-Gentile relations, what's that talking about? Robert.
Well, now it would be that they're a new building, a new house.
That's right, a new building, right? But I'm especially thinking in the previous verses about the wall being broken down.
Oh. Separation.
Okay, but that's, you're right, but that's what it, you're getting ahead of me. That's
the separation.
That's right, the separation. So this is a big, 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 big concept here in this passage, all right?
The new covenant?
This is part of the new covenant, yeah.
Brings them together.
Brings them together, that's right. And it's something Old Testament, especially first century Judaism, did not completely understand. They were so obsessed with not breaking God's laws. They became so obsessed with not breaking God's laws and with especially the laws of cleanness that rather than reach out to Gentiles to be a witness to Gentiles of God's, the holiness of God and so forth, they kept their distance. They created a social barrier. They wouldn't even go to a Gentile's house. They wouldn't eat with a Gentile. Okay, so you didn't want to become unclean. So you didn't want to get close to a Gentile because they were obviously very unclean people. Okay? Alright, so, where are we? That was number three. So number four. Now, this one's a little tricky. Okay, so there's this word saints in verse 19. You are fellow citizens with the saints. So who are we talking about here, the saints?
Would that be all of the believers in the past?
Well, I'm asking you. You don't answer with another question. Okay, so I want you to answer with an answer. Is that your answer? Messianic Jews? Okay. Somebody else want to try? He actually gave me an answer.
I don't think he said, would it be?
Oh, did he? Oh, he gave me another question. Oh, my goodness. Everybody's trying to. They don't want to. They're hedging their bets.
It's like Jeopardy.
Yeah. Like Jeopardy. Yeah. Yeah. Answer the... For me? Okay. Well, let's think about it. So what would the word saints convey to you to start with? Pardon me?
Believers.
Believers. Believers. Okay, believers. That's right. They're believers. Now, which believers are we talking about?
Would that be
okay, you're also answering with a question. Okay, but let's take these categories. Maureen said all of the ones from the past. You said the ones that got saved at Pentecost, and you said Messianic Jews. Okay, those are your suggestions. We'll take your suggestions, okay? All right, so here's the thing. This is an area of confusion, and it's not exactly clear in the text. Some commentators say, oh, this goes all the way back to Adam. All believers all the way back to Adam. Some would say it's the saved, the born-again Jews who are Christ's followers since Pentecost. And those, we could call those Messianic Jews. Okay? So those are basically the same answer. Okay? And there'd be slight variations on it, but those are basically the two alternatives. Now, let's see here. What do I have got here? All right, so my answer here, I'll tell you what, is Jewish Christians, and then I put proof to come in my notes, okay? I'll explain why, and I do think it does not include here the Old Testament saints. Now, that's a question. When I read this, at first I thought, oh, that means with all believers of all time. My first reaction on reading that, all believers of all time. So those, even all the way back, Moses, David, all those guys are included. Here we're now fellow citizens with them. But there is something that clearly in our text tells us why that can't be true. Okay? So let's go to the next question. And as we go through this, it'll, I think, start becoming clear. Because this is a big part of the question of this passage. Okay? Defining terms. So household, building, and dwelling. So here, I'm not going to ask you to tell me what this means. I'm going to tell you what these terms mean. That word household is the one in verse 19. Now each one of these words have a, how shall I put it? They have a, they're all based on the word house. Okay? They have the same root. That's what I was trying to say. But they all have slightly different flavors of meaning. So the household, this is the people who live in a house. So you may have heard me talk about the Roman household. So there would be the father, the pater, the mater, the mother, okay, and the children. Okay, but then all the slaves, all the servants, you know, the employee, this is the household. Everybody who is in this familial relationship within a house, ruled over in the Roman sense by the pater, the father. Okay? So that's the word household. And it's related to the word house. It has the same root. Okay, so then building in verse, the whole building in verse 21. This is, again, a word with the same root. But here, first of all, it has a meaning. The original meaning was a building as it's being built. So if you see this construction going on out here, you could use this word to describe the building process that's going on. But eventually, it came to mean the completed building, a building as having been built, in whom the whole building being fitted together. So that's what it's talking about. Now, we are talking about God's building here. So just keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that idea in just a minute. And then lastly, the word dwelling in verse 22. This is a word that has to do with where somebody lives. Again, the root is the word house, but it means there's lots of houses in our town, but there's one place that's my dwelling. Okay? And so this house, this building that he's describing, is the place where God lives. Okay? So that's what we want to see in our text. These three terms, very important. Alright, so everybody clear so far on that? I'm just trying to make a few distinctions here about what he's describing. And I have a quote here. Mixed metaphors are Paul's trademark. This is one of the commentators. The new citizenship and the household in verse 19 are spoken about here as a building. So, you know, we're new citizens, we're fellow citizens, okay, and we're a household, but we're also a building. So, and I thought this was funny, the way the commentator, mixed metaphors are Paul's trademark. That's what he does, okay? So we see these things in our text. Okay, number five, six. What is this new building built upon? The cornerstone? Pardon me? Okay, just a second. I heard another answer from Yellow. The apostles and prophets. Okay, now I'm going to change this to the pen. Okay, so the apostles, and oh, come on now. Oh, I can't even see where it is. That's why I'm having trouble. There it is. Okay, apostles and prophets. Okay, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. We'll talk about what that means in just a minute. But the foundation is the apostles and prophets. Now, what does... let's see. I think maybe that... I'm not sure whether to ask you to think about what that means. And the next question is also related to this. So maybe I should do the next question first, and then we'll talk about these two together. Which prophets are meant? Okay, when he talks about the prophets... The Old Testament prophets? I heard that was an answer with an answer. All right. Anybody else have a suggestion?
New Testament
prophets. Very good. Very good. Okay, so now we have two answers: New Testament prophets or Old Testament prophets. Well,
so could it mean the New Testament prophets?
Yeah. All right. So the answer is the New Testament prophets. Why? Now, why?
Gold star,
yes. Okay, so why?
Because the church is the foundation. Christ is the foundation. So
the church is not the foundation. They are the foundation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got it backwards. Okay. Okay. And so let's identify some New Testament prophets. We know the names of some of them. John the Baptist is not really a New Testament prophet. No, he is in the New Testament, but he's not a New Testament prophet. Not in this sense that we mean here. Okay, Matthew is an apostle. Oh, Mark, I didn't put his name down. Mark is one though. Mark is a prophet, right? He's not an apostle. Luke, what is he? Not an apostle.
There's,
he wrote the book Gospel of Luke. He wrote Acts.
Right, but
that's our foundation.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But I guess, in my mind, I've always taken it as the fulfillment of, like, Jesus is the fulfillment of all what the Old
Testament. We're still working. You're still saying Old Testament prophets, but we're working on getting you convinced it's the other way around. Okay?
So I disagree that Luke was a prophet. It says in the first paragraph of his book, that he just gathered all these stories and information.
But that he is telling forth and he's writing inspired scripture. And in fact, Paul calls him in one of his epistles, he quotes him as inspired scripture.
Does that mean prophet?
Yeah.
Inspired scripture?
Yes, I think that's what it means.
I thought prophet foretold.
No, and that's one thing a prophet will do, but he also foretells. So that's another way of saying, you see. So James and Jude also are New Testament prophets. Now, Agabus is mentioned in Acts, but he didn't write anything down that we know of. Okay? So there are these things, these offices. Now, here's a little bit of additional information from Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Now, who is he talking about there? He gave these things as gifts. I could have quoted a verse. There's a little parenthesis. I think it's verse 8 or 9 that talks about Christ gave gifts unto men after he died and rose again. Okay? And the gifts, he lists them here in verse 11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, are these all New Testament gifts or Old Testament, or are any of them Old Testament gifts? They're all New Testament. He's giving it to the church. It's after Christ died. He left the world and he gave gifts to men. So these are all New Testament gifts, and the notice he lists the apostles first, then the prophets. So if he was listing Old Testament prophets, or if he was referring to Old Testament prophets, you would think he would say the prophets and then his holy apostles. Because in time, the prophets were first. And we have apostles and prophets here in 2:20 as well. Okay, so that is, it's not proof, it's support to the idea. Okay, yes, Marilyn.
So that would be Paul?
Paul's an apostle.
A Barnabas?
Barnabas would be a prophet, yeah. He is called an apostle in a sense. Pardon me? Timothy would be a prophet, yeah, but he hasn't written anything. Okay, so I'm especially thinking of the writing ministries. Because, ultimately, how do the apostles and prophets speak to us today?
Through God's Word.
Through God's Word. That's the foundation. Okay, so they still speak to us. Like, we still hear Paul almost every, or one of them, almost every Sunday. Sometimes we're preaching the Old Testament, so of course, but, and we do use the Old Testament. It's the foundation of the foundation, if you want to put it that way. Okay, but it's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about, what is it, how is the barrier broken down between the Jews and the Gentiles? It's through the teaching of the apostles and prophets. Peter's an apostle, right? Okay, so you see, these are the ones, this is our foundation. Okay, now let's go to the cornerstone. What does a cornerstone, Jesus says cornerstone, mean? Maybe we could ask, what is a cornerstone? Does anybody know what a cornerstone is?
It's like a, what do you call this, perpendicular thing.
Right.
That's at the corner and that everything lines up.
Okay, there you go. You get the gold star this time, Marilyn. That's the one, okay? Now, there are, later on in ancient architecture, they had, they'd be building an arch and there'd be a stone at the top, and that was the apex. And some people think that's the cornerstone, but that actually didn't come into style until later on. But the cornerstone, the way they would build ancient buildings, they would get a square block, and sometimes it would be a huge block. And everything else had to line up to that block. That's the cornerstone. Currently, when they, in excavations of Herod's temple, there's some block that's 55 feet long, 13 feet wide, and 12 feet high or something. Huge. How they got it there. How would they move that? Those guys are smart. Okay, good engineers. Anyway, but the cornerstone, you'd line up so you have two walls going off of that, down that, either way. Alright, so what is, if Jesus is the cornerstone, what does that mean that foundation has to do for it to be a reliable foundation? It has to line up with who?
Jesus.
With Jesus. Okay, so that's why when we talk about, for example, most Bibles these days are that you can buy, almost all of them are what they call red letter editions. And it is a, I think it's not, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them, but I prefer a black letter edition. Because there's a sense amongst some people that the red letters are more important than the black letters. Okay, and there are people who call themselves red letter Christians. That's true. I'm not making this up. And they dismiss the Apostle Paul. He wasn't as inspired as Jesus. That's not true. Paul and Peter and James and all of them were lining themselves up with Jesus. They're just as inspired as the words of Jesus. Okay, why? Because it's the Word of God. All right, James.
Well, that was, sorry, you kind of made my point for me. I was going to say, if it's in the Bible, it's just as important.
That's right. That's exactly it. That's exactly what we're saying. So the cornerstone, we have a figure. It might be, I think it's used in the Old Testament somewhere about the plumb line, right? The plumb line is in building, it's, you've got to make sure your building is straight, right? That's the whole idea. I have this shed where I built, that I built for my, trash to keep the bears out, right? And I'm not a really good builder, in case anybody has ever wondered. I'm not a really good builder. So the first try at it, it just, nothing worked. It was just, and my friend told me at the time, he says, look, you got to use your square. That's the whole point of a square. You got to use your square. You got to make sure those boards are square when you put them together. I said, oh, I wondered what that was for. So anyway, so then I tore it all apart and I rebuilt it. And it's the best thing I ever built in my life. It's shed for my trash. Okay? Okay, but that's the deal. You've got to build to the standard. And so these apostles and prophets as the foundation, God gave them to the church as the foundation for everything. And they had to build to the standard, to Jesus Christ. It's a really powerful concept. Okay?
But the question here, the foundation, I mean, Christ himself, the apostles at least received Christ's teaching.
Yes.
And his precepts.
Yes.
And Paul, which came after the fact,
yes,
also had revelation.
Right.
And in fact, all apostles had special revelation.
That's right, yeah.
So to me, the foundation is what Christ and the revelation.
Ultimately the foundation is Christ. That's right. Okay, so he is, but we can tell if those apostles ever said anything contrary to the cornerstone, then that threw out their message, right? So there's so-called gospels out there, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Barnabas, a couple others, I can't remember all the names, but they're basically documents from the second century. They're often called Gnostic gospels. You read them, they do not fit with what we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They do not fit with the rest of the Bible. There's parts where they fit, but there's lots of bad angles. It's like my crooked shed. That's what those books are. They're not reliable. So the ones that are reliable are the ones that fit with Christ. All right. So we go back to the fellow citizens with the saints. Okay, so we're made fellow citizens with the saints based on this foundation, this New Testament foundation. So the Old Testament saints aren't in view here because they aren't built on this New Testament foundation. They're anticipating it. Their faith ultimately is in Christ, but they are organized in a different way. Okay, and there is a distinction, and we know quite clearly in the scriptures, there is a distinction between Old Testament Israel and the church. And this is what Paul is revealing here, actually, one of the big things he's revealing here in Ephesians, that there is something new here. In the next chapter, he'll talk about the mystery of the church. So this is a very big, important thing for us to keep in mind about the doctrine of the church. Okay? All right, so where am I? Verse number 8. I keep saying verse. Okay, how is it... Look at this one. How is it that a building is growing? Now, do I have the highlighter? Let me get the highlighter back on here. Growing over here. Growing. How does a building, how can we say a building is growing? Let's see what you think.
You can always add on to.
What else? See, this is a word like if you have a field that's growing, that's the word it's using. It's not just, it is adding on to, yes, but what does he mean by that?
Producing.
People. Huh? People. Oh, there you go. People. Yes, because here's the verse from 1 Peter. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the believers are the spiritual stones. So it is a growing thing. As believers are added to this building, the building is growing. Okay, and so Peter actually uses this very same image, the same metaphor. Okay, so last question. What does it mean that this building is the dwelling place of God in the Spirit? So down there in verse 22, what's he talking about here? The dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now we talk about the Spirit's dwelling, but what's he talking, is there different from what we normally talk about with the Spirit? In verse 22.
Are we talking about the indwelling Spirit?
Okay, so there's the indwelling of the Spirit that happens to what?
The
To the believer. Now, is he talking about that same thing here or not? That's the question.
Is it related to the... don't you know that you are the temple of the Lord?
Okay, it's related to this concept, but it's a little bit bigger than just the individual. Because remember, now we're talking about the building of the church. So what he's saying is that in the church itself, the Holy Spirit resides. And God resides. This whole body... Now, okay, there are some very... There's certain Baptists will teach that there is no such thing as a universal church. Well, Ephesians is really hard for them. Okay, so there is a body. There is a building which God is building through the centuries. It's all one building. And the Holy Spirit dwells within it. But we are, if you want to say, we are a room in that building, our little church. The Holy Spirit is working, and He lives within us as a group. There is a indwelling of each individual, but because this building of God is being built up of individuals who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, this building of God is actually indwelt by the Holy Spirit as well. Okay, so that's what the teaching is on this. Yes.
We have the Holy Spirit within us.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is also...
in this body, yes.
Around.
Well, not floating around. He's not physical, right? He's not a spook. But there is a sense in which this body together, as we walk together in the Spirit, are the dwelling place of the Spirit. Okay?
So Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered, I always thought that that was to do with church discipline. But two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst.
That's right, yes. That's the idea, yeah. Yeah, there's the presence, because there is that presence of God in the gathering of God's people. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the conclusion. I'm getting nervous because the bus just showed up. Okay. So on the conclusion, I have this quotation from Calvin's Institutes, of all places. Okay. So he said, now I was saying to Cal, he says, oh, I didn't know I said that. He says, okay, he says, okay, but, and I was saying, Calvin, he said a lot of good things. He was a good Bible teacher. He just was wrong in a couple of areas. But anyway, in this one, I thought it was quite interesting. If the doctrine of the apostles and prophets is the foundation of the church, and it is, the former must have had its certainty, the apostles and prophets had its certainty before the latter began to exist. What's he talking about? He's talking about how the Roman church taught that they were the ones who should interpret the scriptures. What he's saying is the scriptures interpret the church, not the church and scriptures. Okay, so this foundation, he's making this comment on this verse, this foundation shows this is where everything is evaluated by. And then finally, my comment here at the end, the church is formed by Christ, so the work of his apostles and through the work of his apostles and prophets, out of living stones made up of believing Jews and Gentiles with no division between them. So it's a wonderful passage. I really love it. And we're going to close now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time to look at your word. Thank you for the very interesting things that you put in this passage. There's so much here we could say more. But Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts to be committed to living for you, to growing in you, to becoming as best as we can in this world, a beautiful building of God in our community. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.